Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. You know, here's something you might not know about me, but a long time ago, back when I was in high school, I used to play the oboe as a musical instrument. And in fact, just last week, Rebecca Pape, daughter of Russ and Lisa Pape, let me borrow one of her old oboes. And I'm going to see if I can pick it up again and try playing again. Now, I'm hoping that it'll relieve some stress. You know, sometimes you got those weeks where it's like both eyes are twitching. I'm hoping that maybe playing the oboe and doing that again will relieve some of that stress. But I'll be honest, you know, it's been over 20 years since I played that oboe, and there's a good chance that my attempt at trying to pick it up again might cause stress for those around me. And so, I don't know, maybe their eyes are going to start twitching when I'm playing this at home. You know, I spent a lot of time in band with the band in high school. And one of the most influential teachers that I had in high school was my band director, Mr. Bass. And he had these great sayings that were full of wisdom that he would share as we were practicing together and just, you know, life in the band. And some of the stuff I didn't quite understand like I do now. One of the things, you know, he would always say was, on time is late. If you are on time, if you got there for a 6 o'clock concert, it's too late. The concert starts at 6. You got to be there early. On time is late. Another one was, he would say that the moment you think you're good enough, you're not. And he didn't say that to be mean to us, but just to kind of encourage us in that we can always grow. We can always learn. We can always improve on what we're doing. Don't just settle for, this is good enough. No, keep striving. Keep finding yourself challenged. You know. And then the one I want to talk about today, it goes something like this. He'd say, one time is an accident, twice is a pattern, three times is a habit. You know, to be honest, he would maybe go right from accident to habit when he would say it. But the idea is that if you're repeatedly messing something up, you know, first time you do it, oh, oops, that's all right. But if you keep doing it over and over, or you keep practicing something wrong over and over, or if you're sitting there and you're playing with the wrong posture and you do that every single time, you know, when you're doing it, oh, it's an accident, you didn't know better. But now it develops into a habit if you keep doing this. And it's no longer that mistake. It's no longer an accident. And you formed a habit. And habits can be hard to break. Habits can be good or bad, right? I often ask couples when we do premarital counseling, you know, what are some habits that they've got, good or bad? And then I ask the other person, well, what's some habits that other one has, you know, that maybe you wish you could change or wish they didn't do? Because if a couple's approaching a marriage thinking that they're going to change this other person and suddenly get them to lose and stop all those habits that they don't like, that they can fix this person, well, they're in for a sad reality, right? It takes a long time to correct a habit. They're in for a rude awakening. You know, what you see is what you get. That's how it works. And over time, things might change, but you can't go into this thinking you're going to fix a person. Now, last week, we had an introduction to the red letter challenge. And this week, we're spending time with that first target, being with Jesus, that God desires to spend time with us. And so as we explore this topic together, what I want to do is start with a word of prayer. Because you know what? Prayer is a great way to be with God, to be with Jesus. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, may your word speak to our hearts this week. Lord, may we develop a habit of being with you. So we spend time with you, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit would strengthen our faith in you, Lord, that you'd strengthen our relationship with you, Lord, that you'd strengthen our relationship with others as well. As we find ourselves challenged by your word, help us to not just be hearers of that word, but doers as well, that we might find ourselves and find others blessed in that doing. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So like I said, we're starting the Red Letter Challenge. Right? And it's not too late to start. If you haven't done it, you can join us. Right? We're spending a week on being. That's where you go today. Being. Right? And we're going to take 40 days to be in the red letters of Jesus, to go, and go through what Jesus is saying and then apply that to our lives. Put those words into practice. The Red Letter Challenge was organized, we talked about this last week, around five different targets, taking a bunch of the words of Jesus, the red words in the Bible, and kind of organized them in five different topics: being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. This is what we covered last week, kind of these topics. Now, at first glance, you look at this and you say, wow, that's us doing a lot. But first, where we start first is in the presence of Jesus, being with God. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Not just going through the motions of faith, but starting with our relationship with God, the one who came to this earth to redeem us. Living aware of the presence of God in your life. And knowing that presence, as you live in it, it's living in God's love and God's peace. See, anything that we do for God, if we're serving, if we're giving, if we're going, any of that stuff, it first starts with the relationship that you have with Jesus. This is where it all begins, right? The God who comes to be with us. That's what we have in Scripture. I want you to think about the first book of the Bible, right? God makes Adam and Eve, right? And they're together in the garden, Adam and Eve and God. It's only when Adam and Eve eat from that tree that they're not supposed to eat from. They eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they find themselves separated from God. So one day God is walking through the garden and he calls out to Adam, "Where are you?" Well, God knows where he is. He's God. He knows everything. It's a rhetorical question. But the idea is, where are you, Adam? Because you're supposed to be right here, right next to me. And you're not. You're hiding. You're hiding from me. Where are you? We are created to be in a relationship with God. The same God later rescues his people out of slavery in Egypt. And this people, they wander the desert for 40 years. And one of the things God does is he instructs them to build a tabernacle, a tent, this mobile tent. And God will dwell in their midst, come to be in the middle of them as their camp is set up all around this tabernacle as they wander around so that God can be in the presence of his people. Later under King Solomon, God directs Solomon to build this temple, a permanent structure, not a tabernacle that can move, but someplace permanent. And God, again, dwells in the midst of his people. If you fast forward to the Christmas story given to us in the Gospel of John, you hear this: "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Jesus took on skin and he tabernacled among the people. God again comes to his people to dwell with them. Going back to that Old Testament imagery, right? Jesus is God in the flesh and he's among his people. And if you fast forward to the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, we read this close to the end, chapter 21. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God.'" God wants to be with us. God desires a relationship with us. What you have in Scripture, in the history of the Bible, is God going through all the steps to bring us back to him, to come to his people and bring us back to him. He desires that relationship. Even the picture of heaven, of what is to come, a new heaven, a new earth, is God dwelling among his people. It's a relationship. You know, if you consider how you were brought into the faith, how you were brought into this family of God, it all begins with God coming to you. Maybe he comes to you in the Word, and you hear that Word, and he gives you the gift of faith. Maybe that Word was connected with water in your baptism. Again, God doing all the work, God initiating a relationship, God coming to you. And he desires that because he loves you. He loves you and desires that relationship with you. In John Acuff's book, Finish, he shared a startling statistic. He said that 92% of people don't finish the goals or the resolutions that they set out for themselves. 92% of people don't finish the goals that they start. You know, when we talk about this red letter challenge and we have this goal of 40 days being in the red letters of the Bible, statistically, it would say 92% of the people aren't going to finish that challenge. They're not going to make it to the finish line. What if we could do better than that? What if we as a congregation can do better than that? To do better, it means you have to start correctly. You can't just enter into this race willy-nilly and think that you're going to finish. You know, no one decides they're going to go run a marathon, and then they get up the next day and they go and they run a marathon. It doesn't work that way. You got to work, you got to train, you got to kind of start correctly. You have to start the proper way. And that's what we have before us today. Being. Starting the proper way, starting correctly. And it begins with being with God. You know, we could start out strong on our own. We could take this challenge, read through this book, and start doing these things, but we'd never finish the race, right? To finish strong, we need the strength of God that comes from being with Him. One of the most elite sports that you have is rowing. It seems like it's one of those sports that you hear, you know, for Ivy League schools. Right, you got Harvard and Yale and all this, and their rowing teams are very strong. And so it's a simple sport, right? It's a race. The whole idea is that group of rowers, the first one to cross the finish line, they're the ones who win. And what do you do in a race? You keep your eye on the finish line. You keep moving towards that, and that's how you win. But rowers, think about rowers sitting in the boat. Their back is to the finish line. Right? They're moving backwards. They're looking one direction and they're going another way. How do they keep their eye on the finish line? How do they know that they're going to win when they're all facing the other direction? Well, the rowers aren't focused on the finish line. They're focused on this guy who sits at the front of the boat called the cox. And what this person does is this person leads those rowers, tells them where to row. This person's got their eye on the finish line. They can see all the other rowers and things that are going on, and they lead and direct and guide these people to win the race. The key to winning the race comes down to that relationship between the cox, the leader there in the boat, and the rest of the rowers. He's the leader. He tells them what to do, and as they respond to that and do that, they row and they finish the race and they win. You know, typically when a team wins, when a rowing team wins, it's the cox, it's the leader that the people lift up and celebrate and recognize because he led this team to the finish line. Our walk with God is very much like this. It's like being in a boat and rowing. And what we do is we look to Christ and we trust him that he's going to lead us and guide us and equip us for that journey of life in front of us. Our reading from Hebrews said that today. It said, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus is the most productive thing that you can do. As we look to him, he's going to guide us, he's going to lead us, he's going to show us the way that we need to go. In fact, on several occasions, Jesus, as he wanders around and he goes and he teaches, he gathers his disciples together. And he challenges them, tells them different ways that they can be with him. And this is your challenge this week. You'll be challenged in the same way to hear the words of Jesus and to spend time with him. One of the things Jesus says is abide in my word. John chapter 8, abide in my word. Spending time in God's word where God promises to speak to you. Now we're doing this challenge now. As we go through the book, there's little Bible verses, things that you're looking up. Some of these stories in the Gospels of Jesus and his teaching, you're looking these things up. You're spending time in God's Word. You're doing that as you do the challenge now. But once the challenge is done, what are you going to do? Hopefully, for 40 days, you've built a habit. You've gone through and you spent time every single day spending time with Jesus. And you can continue to do that because you've formed that habit. Pray earnestly. Matthew chapter 9 talks about this. Taking time to talk to God and to listen to Him. You know, some of us don't know where to start or how to pray. And there's going to be a challenge one of the days on prayer. And it's going to help us. Tell us how to start. Tell us what to do. You know, if you've never prayed before, well, this is what you do. You just start praying. And if you've never prayed before, you pray for 1 minute. You do these things. You get lose focus. You don't know what to do. Well, you write down those prayer requests. You write down those things. We need to start somewhere. And we need to have that time to talk to God. And we do that in prayer, right? Maybe as you're doing this, you really want to be a part of our prayer team, right? We've got a prayer chain where we send out prayer requests over email. And you say, yeah, I can do this. During the day, something comes up. Someone in church needs prayer. I get that email and I can take time to talk to God and to pray with Him, right? Prayer is a great way to be with God. Worship the Lord your God. Luke chapter 4. This is another thing. Regular worship. Make what you are doing right now, make this a priority in your week. We've got extra time for worship during Lent on Wednesday nights. Start your week off with God. Schedule your life around this time with God. You know, we schedule so many other things in life, whether we got a baseball game or a concert or a vacation, any number of things. We schedule our priorities. We'll intentionally schedule time for worship. Make this a priority. Develop that habit. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get rest. The idea of solitude. Mark chapter 6. You know, we're often surrounded by so much noise. Maybe we need to set time away to get away from the noise, get away from the email, get away from the phone, get away from the television, to have that quiet time with God. Seek some solitude. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Matthew chapter 6 talks about this. Giving up things, fasting, giving up something to draw close to God. This can be a spiritual discipline that we can take up too. You know, I think all of us here would say that being with Jesus, that Jesus is our number one priority, and yet when it comes to our time, the first thing that often tends to go is that time with Jesus. We say Jesus is the most important, and yet when it comes to spending time with Him, that's the first to go, whatever it is. You know, here's a little challenge for you. If you got a cell phone, you know, often the cell phone, you can do this thing called screen time. And you can see how much time you spent on your phone, and they kind of average it out. I looked at my phone, right, as I'm writing this sermon. I average about 3 hours a day on my phone, whether that's answering phone calls, whether that's sending messages to my wife or something. It could be looking on Facebook, any number of things. 3 hours a day, right? I could say I don't have time to read my Bible. Yeah, I got enough time to spend 3 hours on my phone. I think we can all be challenged that way, to find that time, to give something up so you can spend time with Jesus. Let us eat and celebrate. Matthew chapter 6 talks about this one, right? There's something to be said about one of the pictures of heaven being this great banquet. Eating is fun. Getting together with other people and having a meal together is fun. Doing life together with other Christians, it's fun. If you're not part of a community group, I challenge you. Maybe get and start to be a part of a group. Do life together. Have people to hold you accountable, to lift you up, to encourage you, to pray for one another. Spend that time with God. Do that together with other people. And it could be a lot of fun. Last thing that he talks about is the Sabbath. Right? That the Sabbath was made for man. Mark chapter 2. Taking that day of rest. How many of us feel overworked and worn thin? We heard that in the gospel reading, right? Are you weak? Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. You know, trust God to take care of things. You can't, you shouldn't, you can't do it all by yourself. You shouldn't do it all by yourself. Not all the time. Take time to be with God. Because that work, that stuff, it's always going to be there. And it's still going to be there when you're done with your time with God. See, what we find is that the more that we do these things, kind of these spiritual disciplines of being with God, the more we start to develop habits. The more that we start to develop the habit of spending time with Jesus, of being with God. Being with Jesus, it just doesn't happen overnight. We're going to have to work at these things. Because our life is filled with so much stuff. And we got to start through that first. Now, I want to say one last thing about our being with God. I want you to be with God where He actually promises to be. Be intentional in that. Whether that's reading the Word or praying or worship. You know, I used this illustration before, but it's a good one, so I'm going to use it again. You know, if my wife promises to meet me for a lunch date, we're going to go to Starbucks on Monday at 12 o'clock, I'm not going to go to Dunkin' Donuts around the corner at 11:30. The promise is Starbucks, 12 o'clock. That's where she's promised to be. Now, she could be at Dunkin' Donuts at 11:30. God could be somewhere in something else, but the promise is at a certain place. Just because God could be anywhere doesn't mean we should seek Him in places He's never promised to be. So be with God where He promises to be. I can't tell you how many times I hear something like this. Oh, I took the boat on the lake and I went fishing and I had this wonderful experience with God. You know, sure, we can enjoy God's creation. God's given us this wonderful world, so we do get to experience creation. But don't mistake experiencing God's creation as worshiping God where He's promised to be. Remember, we're seeking to develop a habit. We're seeking to be intentional with our time with God. God says, you know, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in our midst. That's here. That's what's happening right now in worship. Where we set aside time to hear the Word of God, to respond to that Word, to sing praises to God, to receive God's gifts. Later, we're going to receive His very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to speak to God in prayer. Those are the things that are happening here in worship. And I've yet to hear of somebody who went out on the boat fishing and actually did those things, actually worship like that as they're out in creation, right? Be intentional in your prayer time. Be intentional in taking that time to talk to God. It means intentionally doing this, taking time, praying, talking to God, not just scrolling through your Facebook feed and sending out good vibes and positive thoughts as you read about something that's happening in someone's life. No, take time to talk to God intentionally. Seek God in His Word, where He promises to speak to you. Not seeking God to speak to you in a supernatural way as you're sitting outside under a tree and saying, God, give me a sign. He's never promised to speak to you that way, but He has promised to speak to you in His Word. And He also promises that that Word will not return to Him empty. Don't seek something that may or may not happen, that could or might not happen, not when you have a 100% absolute promise from God where He's going to be and what He's going to do. We have the red letters of Jesus that tell us specifically how to spend time with God. The challenge is for us to actually take God at His Word. And before you go, I want you to keep this in mind too. God always finishes what He starts. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The work that God has started in you, He's going to complete it. He's not done with you yet. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. No, it's going to be hard. Those challenges we've got might be difficult, but we can be confident that God will finish it. That's who God is. He's a finisher. He finishes what He starts. And when it's hard, we can rest those cares on Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Be with Him. The same Jesus who went to the cross for you and for me is the same one who's going to return one day and make all things new. He's not done with us. This same Jesus who rose from the dead, who defeated death and the devil and sin, He welcomes you into redeeming the world and restoring the world, and you do that through him as you walk with him. Spend time with Jesus. Grow in him and see what he's going to do in your life and in the world around you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.